Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Naresh Shankar. Naresh is the Senior Vice President and Chief Technology Officer of Xerox, a provider of print and digital document technology, among other solutions, with revenues exceeding $10 billion annually. As CTO, Naresh leads the company's digital transformation, and he has responsibility for research and product development, which includes supporting the company's product portfolio with the Palo Alto Research Center, or PARC, from its ideation to commercialization phases. Naresh originally joined Xerox as the Chief Digital Officer, and he has over 25 years of experience in the IT industry. He's held the Chief Information Officer roles at Hewlett-Packard and at Palm before joining Xerox. In this interview, Naresh discusses the three key elements to a successful transformation. He cites bold leadership that has grit as the most important ingredient for transformation. Second, he describes the importance of culture in preparing for the future. As the pace of change accelerates, he notes it's critical to bridge the established culture that sustains companies at scale with a next-generation culture that has the mental muscle of a startup. Lastly, we discuss the need for a team that is passionate and is driven and energized and exceedingly mission-focused. We also discuss the outside-in and inside-out approach Xerox is using to make its digital transformation, how the company uses artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things, Naresh's experience as a board-level CIO and CTO, and a variety of other topics. Naresh Shankar, welcome back to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Thank you, Peter. Looking forward to it.
Naresh, I thought we'd begin with your current post. A lot has changed since the last time you and I caught up. You are now the Chief Technology Officer of Xerox, with a remarkable purview that includes R&D, as well as running the technology function, more generally speaking, at that company. And what an interesting time to be at Xerox, an organization that is going through quite a renaissance at present. And I thought maybe you could take a moment and describe what was it about this opportunity that attracted you to make the move over to Xerox?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. So Xerox has had a very rich year, I'd say, in its 100-year history. Both in invention and innovation, it's had a really amazing run. And what really intrigued me about the opportunity was I have the unique opportunity here to transform and revitalize the brand and business from a business operating model and digital transformation perspective. So that is number one, fundamentally transforming our business so that it's easy for customers to engage and also consume our technology as a company. So that's point number one. The second aspect of the role that was also exciting was actually the opportunity to actually transform the product portfolio across the workplace solution landscape, the graphics landscape, and all of the new sciences that will help us transcend the print franchise. And so the opportunity to also launch new lines of business and create value is really a huge opportunity that I thought was quite exciting. So on many different levels, this role and opportunity is quite unique. So So I thought, I had to give this a shot because it's really a very unique opportunity and an exciting opportunity. And Xerox as a brand is a marquee brand, highly respected in the industry. And so I thought, why not? And so that's what brought me here. And I'm looking forward to the run because I see the next three and five years being really, really exciting to pivot and transform the brand at many different levels.
Well, and I'd love to dig in a little deeper, Naresh, to that transformation. And you've alluded to some of the areas in which you're hoping to, you know, for example, transcend the print franchise, to use your words, to get into workplace solutions, graphics, leverage new sciences. I wonder if you could maybe take a couple of those examples and peel back the onion a little bit further and describes what you see in terms of the pathway with some of those. What will be the sources of innovation and what complexion do they take?
Okay, so when you look at the print franchise, which is our core business in workplace solutions and graphics, we now see ourselves moving into a whole new range of sciences to take advantage of close to, I'd say, approximate $55+ billion market opportunity that is ahead of us in all of these new sciences. So if I look at beyond the core business, in the areas of packaging. There are new sciences around direct-to-object printing, inline marking, all of these new areas that potentially are adjacencies, and also moving into the packaging side of the digital print and packaging side of our business. So all of these will be adjacencies to the core business. The next set, as an example, and then the next set of businesses that we've launched as an example is basically starting with 3D, the 3D additive manufacturing business, predominantly focused on liquid metal. That is a very, very interesting technology. It's highly disruptive. And what's unique about the technology is fundamentally revolutionizes manufacturing. And both around speed, cost, and reliability. What we've done in the liquid metal space is we've built technology where we can actually absorb the low-cost input intake of metal alloys that are commoditized, and we can produce high-quality production parts that have tremendous integrity and density in terms of the materials that we print, low cost, reliability, and also the speed. And so it's a huge value proposition. And so that's a classic example in terms of directionally how unique this is in the additive space. And you couple that with our AI-based 3D software that now allows us to design predictive models and also test and validate the composition and the quality of those models before they even get printed. So the 3D AI software that's going to be coupled with the hardware creates a very unique value proposition. So we're able to print not just parts that are denser, they're faster and cheaper, and compared to those made from metal powders, right, which typically has been where most of the industry has been investing in. And so what we've been also able to mitigate is a lot of the other technologies around metal powders, you know, have long, post-production processes for curing and depowdering. Well, we don't. We don't have that complexity that comes with a post-production process. And so our technology, again, you know, faster, cheaper, and much more what I call it preserves the integrity and the density of the materials that we use. So it's a very, very exciting play in the 3D space. And our goal is to produce a complete 360 experience to really address what I call the on-demand nature of manufacturing, since we live in an on-demand instant-on economy, right? You pay for what you consume, and you pay when you consume it. And so we think the whole world of manufacturing is going to move into what I call an on-demand economy. And I believe that we will be front and center of leading the charge in this space. So that's exciting. And that's an example in the 3D space. In the IoT space, which is the next tower, we are building a range of sensors And you're going to hear more about the technology in the sensor space, predominantly around what we've done, which is detection of hazardous gases and also food and drug spoilage, things of that sort, as well as the hyperspectral camera, which we've developed, which can actually do a decomposition of color that detects, again, the changes in materials or the changes in preservatives or things of that sort. So I think IoT and sensors is going to be another range of technology that you're going to hear more about. The third category is in AI and artificial intelligence, which is predominantly in an area that is focused on the intelligent knowledge worker. So we are looking to launch our first set of products there starting in 2019 and into 2020. We'll have a roadmap as well. But between 3D and AI, we're looking to launch products in 2020, which is going to be an exciting play. So we've got some other areas of science that we're also focused on, but you're going to hear more about a lot of these new sciences that we're launching in 2020 that's beyond the print franchise. So hopefully that gives you some insight and examples into a lot of the new sciences we're working on. What's really important about why we believe strongly that we are well positioned to introduce new science to market and commercialize this is because our R&D ecosystem, starting with PARC and the research centers here in Palo Alto, XRCC and the research centers in Canada, the R&D centers and the Webster Acceleration Centers that we have in Upper State New York, in the Rochester area, you couple all of the power of the R&D engineering, the research and development institutions we have, we've got a long history that goes from the 50-year history from PARC to the 100-year history of Xerox that has produced a tremendous portfolio of patents in all of these wide spaces of science. And so we think we are well positioned to move the science into both productization and commercialization. And so this makes it really, really exciting for us to broaden our portfolio beyond the print franchise into all of the new sciences that we think we can effectively get to market and go to market starting 2020.
Remarkable. What a portfolio of things to work on, to say the least. And Naresh, you highlight that this is an organization that has innovation in its DNA in so many different places. That said, given the number of new innovative areas you anticipate the organization getting involved in coming weeks, months, year ahead, I can only imagine that from an IT perspective, there's been some change necessary, whether it's retooling the way in which some people work within the technology function to bring in people that have a new set of skills or a new orientation to the way in which they work. Can you talk a bit about some of the cultural attributes that have perhaps been in need of refreshment or rethink here and there as you've begun your tenure at Xerox?
Yeah, so I think what's exciting at Xerox in the last 12 and 18 months, the notable change is that we've got an amazing leadership team. And the leadership team comes from tremendous collective experience across many domains in the industry, and very diverse experiences, both on the private equity side of the world, as well as from I'd say, industry perspective as well. So people that have got a significant amount of breadth and depth and experience across many different industries, and that's huge. I mean, so it starts with the leadership. I mean, we've got a very strong, compelling, very driven leadership team, and that makes it exciting. The second thing is the culture. I mean, we've got a very strong culture of invention and innovation. And so when you look at the power of Xerox, what's really very intriguing and exciting is that we bring the big company feel in terms of being able to rapidly scale to market and go to market rapidly. Okay, so we bring that and we couple that with the mental muscle of a startup. And that's what we brought together. And so we're starting to build out the ecosystems around operating models and org models that basically couple both the ability for the Xerox corporation, its capabilities to scale rapidly and fast with the models of a startup in terms of agility and speed and focus, right? And so we brought that together in the culture. And what that means is that we've had to take a lot of the learnings of what we've had historically and bring together a lot of the learnings from the outside in terms of building the franchise in a manner where we can actually meet the objectives of not just the core portfolio of our products that we want to bring to market, but also all of the new science that we want to accelerate and go to market with. So we're bringing these worlds together. And what that also means is that we've got to bring together, you know, people, process, and technology together as well. So if you peel back the onion, what have we done? In the IT organization, foundationally, we've built a new organization. It's called Xerox Digital Experience, right? And the focus is how do we actually design the capability around an instant on-demand economy, okay? So what customers expect on the outside, what customers and partners expect of us on the outside, our employees expect of us on the inside. So we've got to be able to bridge and create great user experiences on the outside with what our employees expect on the inside. So what do we have to do? Fundamentally, we are building and transforming. You know, we've developed a strategy that over the next 3 and 5 years, we are going to be transforming the company at many different levels, very similar to what we've done in all of our previous companies, where we've, for Xerox, had to develop a playbook across, you know, what do we do across the whole infrastructure stack? Okay, what do we, you know, do across the entire wide area and local area networks to create these, what I call the user experiences that are much more mobile centric and digital centric. And then we started looking at all the other layers of the stack, which is starting with all of the customer facing solutions and processes, everything from how customers interact with us, with all of the sales experiences, including service and support experiences, and then all of the back office operations, whether it's you know, our factory and supply chain operations, to financial flows, procurement flows, you know, and all of the human capital management activities. So we've had to completely deconstruct and reconstruct a strategy in terms of our transformation work. And so what we're looking to do is actually run a digital playbook over the next 3 and 5 years to fundamentally transform the company to be able to create that digital experience for both our partners and customers on the outside that interact with us, including the same set of user experiences that our employees will also get to enjoy in terms of being highly productive and efficient on the inside. So that's what we're bringing together, an outside-in and an inside-out approach in terms of designing for this new digital economy. And so we've completely rebuilt the IT organization this whole year, and we're now moving to the next level, which is getting the innovation engine and the transformation engine in gear to start executing in the next 3 and 5 years. So that's, in essence, what we've actually put in place to get launched.
Fascinating. And Naresh, as I reflect on, as you even alluded to a moment ago, you've been through a number of transformations in your career. You've been a chief, either information or technology officer, for 13 or 14 years now across multiple organizations, from Palm to HP. You guided, as we've talked about on the record in this very podcast, about the separation of HP and what appeared to be an impossible time frame, and did so successfully. Now you embark on your next very interesting set of challenges with another organization that's, you know, reinventing itself and transforming itself in such interesting ways. What is it about these kinds of experiences that you find so interesting? There seems to be kind of a theme through your career as an executive.
Yeah, I'd say the first thing that I've learned a lot from company to company as we go through these transformations the real essence to what is always exciting in terms of revitalizing a brand and a business and transforming it, in addition to doing the same in terms of our products and our R&D and how we create the experiences that customers and partners expect of us. I find that there's two things, I'd say three things that matter, right? One is leadership, right? Bold leadership and leadership that has grit. And I find that always to be the most exciting ingredient. I mean, this is my eighth company pivot. And so in many ways, this is mission eight for me. And so I'd say the first thing is really around, leadership. And that matters. The second is around the culture. Okay, culture is so instrumental in terms of how we design for the future, because in all of our companies, designing for the future means you're always constantly designing for the next generation. And the next generation matters because how they run our companies in the future will differ greatly in terms of how we run our companies today and how we've run our companies in the past. So you're constantly having to design new playbooks from company to company because the future is changing really fast. And so that's interesting. So I think culture matters. And how do you instill a culture where you can bridge the experiences of the past, which we are very good at, which is building companies for scale and sustaining companies for scale. And then how do you bridge that with the next generation culture, which is really around introducing this whole, as I mentioned earlier, the mental muscle of a startup, right? And so bringing these cultures together is so important because there are so many characteristics of the culture that needs to come together to bridge the old world with the new world to really help us accelerate and go forward. The third area is actually the team. I mean, it's so instrumental in building the right team that is really excited about the future. And so on many different levels, having a team that is, you know, really passionate, is driven, is energized, I mean, and can energize, that's very mission focused, I think becomes very, very important. And when I think about what's ahead of us, for me, my collective experiences in all of the companies I've had have really helped me continuously kind of learn, unlearn, and relearn from every company pivot I've been through. And so being able to adapt and being able to, you know, be agile and nimble and humble every step of the way has mattered. And so I've had to take that to heart and think carefully about, what matters and how we go forward in putting together the right playbooks and the right ingredients. And so that's really what's helped me. And, I've had R&D experiences in many of our companies, and I've had, IT leadership experiences in many of our companies. And what the Xerox opportunity really helps me with is actually bringing that all together. And so on any given day, I have to think of things from an outside-in perspective and an inside-out perspective and try to bridge these worlds in terms of how do we optimize our businesses and help our businesses and transform our businesses to be productive and efficient and create great user experiences internally for employees. And then how do I bridge that with the experiences that our customers and partners are going to expect by ensuring that we can take our products and the new sciences to market very, very effectively. But the last thing I want to add is also that, I think it's really important that as a company and as a leadership team, the culture and the team we build, what's really important going forward is that we have to be mission-based, which means we have to really be thoughtful about how we think about what impacts and lasting impacts as a company we will have on planet and society. And that, to me, is a real big passion of mine. And the one area that I'm most excited about is actually the 3D space. And what's really interesting about 3D is that in an instant on-demand economy, the whole world of 3D actually is well beyond revolutionizing manufacturing. You have a very significant impact on reducing your carbon footprint. If you just fundamentally step back and think about it, what the world of 3D will do and its impact it will have on planet and society, its impact on logistics, transportation, the impact on, you know, managing massive inventories in distribution centers, in locations, and moving all of this, taking weeks and months. If you get the 3D ecosystem right, and if we fundamentally revolutionize manufacturing to serve an on-demand, instant-on economy, you can just imagine what overwhelming impact you will have on reducing our carbon footprint. I mean, it is a really, really interesting way to look at it. And that's what's really exciting and intriguing to me about the 3D opportunity. And so everything we touch, we've got to start thinking about how can we be much more mission-based and mission-focused. And that's another part of it that's really exciting and intriguing. So hopefully, I mean, gives you some insight about, you know, a lot of what I've learned and the collective experiences I've had in terms of the unique opportunity here at Xerox in terms of how it lends itself to really making this something really noteworthy and exciting for me, both professionally and personally.
What I find so
answer the question.
Yeah, it's fantastic, Naresh. And one of the things I found so intriguing in your answer is that there was a people component to everything you just mentioned, from the leadership to the culture to the team that you're building. Even as you got excited for very good reason about the 3D printing, you track it back to mission, which of course is then kind of like what drives everyone, what even becomes kind of the selling point for those who might be, you know, who you're recruiting. And, you know, I think it's great to remember that even for a technology organization, it is only as good as its people. And so the thought process you're clearly devoting to how do we create a special team, special leadership, a mission that matters and that drives people is really the most important core aspect of this.
Yeah, what's really interesting is what I find is this: technology is always interesting, and problem solving is always exciting. And what I've always found is that, you know, if I get this leadership and the culture and the team correct, and which is always where I put a lot of my energy into, I always find we can solve, you know, we can problem solve effectively. And we can do very exciting things with technology and experiences that customers, partners, and employees would love to have. So I find that, you know, if I solve this three-legged stool around leadership, people, and culture, I always find that we can really, really win what we've got ahead of. We can really win. We can really come up with a winning formula that's exciting for everyone. So that's kind of been my experience.
That's fantastic. I also wanted to ask you, Naresh, one of the very interesting developments for you in recent couple of years has been joining the board of advisors or board of directors for multiple organizations. And I wondered if you could just linger a moment on that experience, how some of those came to bear, and the extent to which, of course, yours is a unique career, as is everyone's, but the extent to which your having been a chief information officer, chief technology officer now for multiple organizations have lent itself well to you joining these organizations as a critical member of their boards.
Yeah, I'd say that one of the important aspects of several of the boards, actually it's a combination. Some of the companies are in what I call the clean tech space and, areas much more focused around the reduction in carbon emissions, things of that sort, which is quite intriguing. The other companies are pure tech companies, predominantly in the software space and in the analytics space. And there's really a common thread in all of these that I find. What's really interesting is when you visit with customers in terms of what you're trying to do and get to market, it's user experience. You know, how do you design solutions and your go-to-market motion from a experience point of view? And that in itself is an art and a science. And we tend to do very little to focus in those areas in the industry. And I think that is paramount because it is always critical in engaging with customers and partners to get points of view. And what I find is that if you can run a lot of the modeling work from an experience point of view, you can very quickly thread to what really matters. And then what really matters is then focus. I mean, how do you get to the minimal set of capabilities that they're looking for? And how do we create a great experience around those capabilities? So threading it to the minimum viable product that matters, and then growing and scaling the capabilities as needed over time is something that, you know, that's something I've learned, and which is very much of a startup mentality, right? And start small, you know, deliver a good experience, and then grow and scale rapidly. And so that's something that I've learned in terms of what customers come to expect in how we look at taking our products to market. The second thing is, you know, how do you make it really simple and easy for them to consume? And that is really around a complete digital native experience. And so that's also really, really important. So that's the second aspect of it. The third aspect of it is around operational excellence. And, you know, a lot of these companies, you know, are very, very focused around what is the greatest accelerated value I can get with the minimal spend, which means it's really working smart. The other thing I learned from actually working with these companies and advising them is getting rapidly. It's not the fact that you have a problem. It's how rapidly you're able to resolve the problem and how quickly can you get to root cause and corrective actions and how operationally sound and disciplined is the team. And how do they, you know, value every dollar of spend for the returns they get in their execution? So the other aspect of it is actually this whole notion of a cost accounting, you know, and capability accounting in terms of what it takes to actually deploy capabilities. And so I learned a lot about costing and deploying capability and having a lot more transparency and visibility into into these cost components. So it's really interesting working with some of these startups and advising them because you get much more detailed and deeper into the transparency around what makes these companies tick and what levers do you have that you need to go focus on to really drive the greatest value. So I found that intriguing in terms of at least thinking of how do you design products more holistically and how do you take them to market more effectively. And have a much more, thought process around speed, around focus, around accountability, so we can drive the right behaviors and also achieve kind of the right speed to market and speed to value drivers in all execution. So it's much more fascinating to be operating in a lot of these startups and advising them because you know you can move the needle fairly rapidly. But the challenge is now, how do you bring that thought process into a heritage company that's, rapidly looking to, you know, grow scale and operate like a startup, right? And so that always is the challenge and the exciting part about designing and bridging these capabilities so that we can be much more effective as we bring a lot of these learnings into the, especially our new companies. So that's been hopefully, gives you some sense in terms of what I've really enjoyed, learning and bringing those learnings here.
Well, Naresh Shankar, I appreciate you bringing these learnings to this conversation as well. What a great conversation it has been, talking a bit about your career path, the remarkable things you've done at multiple stops, of course, most specifically in the most recent one at Xerox, your board work. I really appreciate you sharing your insights today.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert.